All right, Matthew chapter 6. What should be a very important part of a Christian's life. Prayer. And it's going to actually take two messages to get through this next passage because it's actually verses 5 through 15, Jesus talks about prayer. And we're taking 5 through 8 today. And then in 2 weeks, when I come back, we will pick up at verse 9 through 15. And what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, which it's really not his prayer, but and I'll prove to you that it's not his prayer at that time. That's a little teaser. Now you're going to want to know how I'm going to prove that, but I can prove it. What it is a pattern for prayer. And if you want to read the Lord's Prayer, it's chapter 17, okay, of John. You can read the Lord's Prayer. But I can prove that this is not the Lord's Prayer, and that's in 2 weeks. So, at any rate, do be in prayer for me as I go to Florida and pick up my parents and then drive them to West Virginia. That's the plan this week, and where my uncle is going to be buried. My dad won't fly and my mom won't drive, so therefore I drive them is the plan. So be in prayer for safety for all of us, the family that's going to Morgantown, West Virginia. Where I was born, by the way. That's where I was born. And be back the 29th, which is Thursday. And there, I stalled long enough to get the thing up there. All right. Which is a Thursday. So, but do be in prayer for that. And for Brother Ed. Brother Ed Adams will be here next week to preach. So, praise the Lord for him being willing to step in, my friend. And you don't want to miss that. He's a good guy. All right, principles of prayer. You know, Christ is going to give them a pattern to pray, but before he does that, he's going to give some principles. And we know that, you know, we talked about last week about the giving of alms, which, you know, it's talking about the desires of our heart. And these next three sections with almsgiving or charity, as it were, helping people in a very, not just charity like you give your money and let someone else do the work, but you actually serving someone. That's what this is talking about. But the desires of our heart. So he goes from desires to devotions to disciplines, which is the fasting part. It talks about disciplines of the Christian life. So last week we talked about desires of the Christian life, about God putting that desire in your heart, not giving you what you desire, but actually giving you the desire that you have to do something to help somebody or serve him or others, whatever it may be. And so we move from those desires to devotion, which is prayer. And in verse 5, just the first four words, and when you pray, and when you pray, he's starting with, and when you pray. You know, he's telling us, Jesus is telling us, he's taking it for granted we're going to pray. It's not if you pray, it's when you pray. And if you are a follower of Christ, and you read about, you know, especially in the Gospels, how much he prayed, and we're supposed to be following him, well, he's taking it for granted. It's going to be on your heart to pray. And of course, we know there's a lot of different types, if you will, or facets of prayer. You know, you can pray for somebody, or you can pray for yourself. You can pray for spiritual things or material things, needs. health, you know, all sorts of ways that prayer can be implemented, if you will. But bottom line is, God says, you know, if I'm in you and you're in me, you're going to pray. And Matthew Henry, I love this, Matthew Henry, I love reading Matthew Henry. In the 1600s, he wrote his great commentary, and it's just as valid now as it was then. But he wrote this. He said, "You may as soon find a living man that does not breathe." Now think about that. "You may as soon find a living man that does not breathe as a living Christian that does not pray." So what he's saying is, if you're not praying, you're not alive. You know, you're kind of a dead Christian. Okay? And he said, and he ended it with, "If prayerless, then graceless." Interesting quote. He says, you'll sooner find a guy that's alive that's not breathing, which we know can't happen, as you will a Christian that's alive that doesn't pray. And a warning, kind of. If you're prayerless, you're going to be graceless. And we need God's grace, folks. You know, there's people, you know, in our congregation, you know, people in the hospital, people suffering the loss of a loved one. You need God's grace to do these things, to go through these situations, these scenarios. And then knowing Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, the one that never sinned, but knowing that our sin nature, because we have it, can corrupt anything. Our sin nature can corrupt anything, including prayer. Okay? So knowing this, Jesus gives us two contrasting pictures that illustrate two great faults that we can be guilty of in prayer. And we can be guilty of concerning God's will, you know, in prayer. So, you know, just like everything else, you know, God gives a great institution of marriage, and we look around at what's going on in the world, how man has corrupted it, the sin nature. And every other thing that's in the Bible that God created that was good, man has corrupted. And prayer is good. We have the privilege of prayer through Jesus Christ. We can go right to the Father. You know, it used to be Old Testament times, you know, the high priest could only go in there. You know, God had all these rules. You can read about it, you know, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, all those places, all the rules it took to approach God. And it was a very difficult thing to approach God. And that is the tremendous truth and grace of the gospel, that you know what? We don't have to do that stuff anymore. Right here, right now, in our sinful estate, even though you're saved, you're still sinful, so am I. We still think the things we shouldn't think, do the things we shouldn't do, say the things we, you know, Paul said it. You know, I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I ought to do. Oh, wretched man that I am. And we have all these things. But despite all that, we can go right to God. Because of what Jesus Christ did. He made a way. That's the symbolic of the tearing of the veil in the temple. The veil that kept anybody from going into where God was. The Holy of Holies. You could not go in there except that one day a year. And even then, if you went in there without being worthy or cleansed right, according to the Word, you would die. That is how holy God is. And yet God made a way. Do you understand prayer is about relationship? And we could not have relationship with God outside of what Jesus did on the cross. Everything was just, you know, through killing of animals and you know, looking, you know, shedding blood so that it was a picture of what Jesus was going to do. So those people were, in a sense, having a relationship with God, but they had to do it through all the animal sacrifice and all the laws and the rules and all that, just to even approach God so that they just wouldn't die. And yet we can freely approach God. Boldly, the Bible says, you can enter the throne room boldly. because we're His children. So we have these pictures that Christ puts because our sin nature will take us down this road if we are not careful, if we are not watching. Because, you know, we do that, don't we? We can deceive ourselves and just kind of slip gradually into a thing and we don't even realize it. And so Jesus knows this. And so he gives us a couple of very interesting illustrations. So let's look at verse 5. He talks about prideful prayer. Prideful prayer. That almost seems contradictory, isn't it? I mean, you know, how can you be prideful and pray? Well, people do. And I have to say, I probably have. You know, just in my pride, not really thinking about what I was praying, you know. And you can pray a very prideful thing. And not even realize it, because you know what? We can be deceived. You know, we deceive ourselves many times. So he says this in verse 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, truly, I say to you, they have their reward." Prideful prayer. You know, it's vain glory. It's vain glory. Don't be a hypocrite. You know, what these people were doing, they were acting like it was all about God when it was really all about them. Oh, look at how holy I am. You know, I'm praying in the synagogue. I'm praying on the streets. I'm just so spiritual. And it was prideful. You know, and he spells it out here in this passage. And I got these four things. Note the places. Note the places where these guys prayed. It was what? In the synagogues and the corners of the streets. And these are places where they would be seen by many. The synagogues were busy places. The streets were busy places. And they would get out there and they, oh, you know, whatever, and they'd say their thing. And people would walk by and go, wow, that guy's really spiritual. Look at him, he's just praying right there. You know, and some of them would beat their chests and, you know, and do all sorts of stuff. And where were they at? In the synagogues. You know, and it's just like a parallel. Remember when last week we talked about the ones that were giving charity and seeking attention for it? It was the same thing, you know, back in verse 2 of chapter 6. He says, don't sound the trumpet as the hypocrites do in what? The synagogues and the streets. Same thing. Same people doing the same stuff. Look at me as I give. Now he moves on. Look at me as I pray. Now listen, this is not an indictment of praying in public. Okay? God is about motive, folks. He's about the heart. These guys were hypocrites. They were trying to look spiritual by praying, but there wasn't anything spiritual taking place. It was about what? Attention. And so don't go legalistic on this, okay? There is a place and a time to pray. We pray in public. Here in this church, when we lead in prayer, here, before people. And when I pray, I'm not praying to make myself look good before you. I'm praying because there's a need. You know, we got a lot of people hurting right now. And it was good to go to prayer in a multitude. You know, and Jesus said, you know, two or more gathered, you know. And we gather in prayer. There's power there. Okay, but bottom line is, these guys had a wrong motive. And that's what Christ is talking about here. And he's saying, don't be like them. Don't be like them. So note the places. Note the posture. He says, wrong verse. Here we go. To pray, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and everything. You know. And listen, there's nothing wrong with standing and praying. Again, legalism. Don't, you know, it's not condemning standing. I stood here before you and prayed just a little while ago. Okay? The point being that these guys were standing and they're making sure they're seen. You know, they weren't humble about it. You know, and a lot of times when we pray, you know, We pray on our knees. Why? It's about our heart being humble before God. But there's a time to pray kneeling. There's a time to pray standing. There's a time to pray sitting. I tell you, every time I'm on an airplane, I'm sitting, but I'm praying. I'm serious. I mean, you know, I get on that thing, and that thing's starting to going up, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm like, Lord, get this thing off the ground, you know? And then when we're coming down, Lord, let it just kind of be soft, you know? And, you know, I mean, there's a time to pray. It's not about posture, but these guys were hypocrites. They weren't interested in looking humble. They were interested in getting attention. So how best? Well, let me just stand among you and start waxing eloquent, as it were. Note the posture. Standing in pride and in confidence of themselves. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I mean, note the words here. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Well, I could pray with myself all day. I don't know that that would affect my life much, other than make me harder or less spiritual. And he says, God, I thank you, what? That I am not like all these other guys are. You talk about a prideful prayer. Oh, praise the Lord, God, I'm not a murderer or a, you know, whatever. You know, you fill in the blank. You know, I'm not a mass murderer. I thank you that I'm not as other men are. Other men, not me. Other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Modern day. Even as this used car salesman. Sorry, Juan. I know you used to sell cars. But I mean, you know, but there's certain professions we just look at them like, you know, whether they're honest or not, we lump them together, right? And he's just saying, yeah. Standing there praying with himself, saying words that really had no impact on anything. Gee, God, I thank you. I'm not like all these other poor, hopeless people that I'm surrounded by. You know, it's kind of like, thank you, Lord, that I'm who I am. You know, you were so good. Note the pride, as if we haven't already seen it. He says what? That they may be... I keep jumping up to verses 1 through 4 for some reason. My eyes just keep going there. He says that they may be seen of men. He says they love to pray that they may be seen of men. They loved to pray. Do you love to pray, or do you love prayer? Think about it. It says they loved to pray. It didn't say they were kind of wrapped up with prayer. They loved to pray because it made them look good. They loved to pray because it made them seem spiritual. Look at Matthew 15. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying... You know, notice how the word hypocrite is coming up a lot in all these verses. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That is these guys here that Jesus is talking about. And you know what? Sometimes that was me. You know, I'm praying out of habit, praying out of, you know, duty, praying out of this is what I'm supposed to do. But my heart really wasn't in it. I've prayed prayers like that. I'll confess it. You know, I'm hopefully more spiritual now than I was 30 years ago. Okay? So, you know, we grow in all these things that we do as Christians. We grow. But, you know, where's your heart? That's what God's concerned with. Where's the heart? He says, yeah, you talk a good talk. Your lips are saying perfectly great things. But your heart is 50 million miles away from me. Note the pride. They loved to pray, but they did not love prayer. They did not love getting close to God. They did not love that intimate relationship that God was seeking. That's not what they were seeking. Their heart was far from Him. And lastly, note the product. The places out in the public, the posture standing, kind of proclaiming themselves, the pride, you know, just saying the things that they said to sound good, but note the product. And it says, verily I say to you, they have their reward. They have their reward. As we talked about that last week as well. They have their reward. They have their reward. They didn't get God's reward. I doubt they got an answer to their prayer at all, except maybe the answer was no. They had their reward. What was their reward? The praise of men. Looking good before men. You know, and I talked about last week, you know, that's all, you know, that phrase there means that's all they're going to get. You know, they got what they got. It's like, and I used the illustration, I think, last week, you know, if you write a check to the church and you get to deduct it from your taxes, and if that's the only reason you write the check, you got your reward, you got your deduction. But with God, there was no spiritual blessing. You're not going to get anything from God for doing that. If your motive, and that's what's important to God is motive. If your motive was, I want to get a tax write-off, then you got your reward. You know, if their motive was to be seen of men, they got their reward. Men saw them. Men were lifting them up, you know, treating them special. They had their reward. That was the product. And that's all they got for it. So that's one picture. That's one of the things that, you know, our pride can come upon us and we don't even know it. We can be prideful. We can slip into it. We can think we're humble and about a certain situation or subject or matter or whatever. And we can be prideful in it and not even realize it because it's deception. Satan works in deception. And he knows that God resists the proud. Okay, but he gives grace to the humble. Okay, and Satan knows that, so he tries to deceive us. Oh, you're so good. You know, that, like these Pharisees. I mean, they really thought they were serving God. They were deceived. And then when Jesus comes on the scene and goes, you vipers, you hypocrites, you whited sepulchres. I mean, you know, pretty strong language. It was upsetting their apple cart because they thought they had it all together. They were deceived. And you know what? We can be deceived too. We can be deceived. That's why Jesus said these things for us. So that we would not be deceived. So, verse 5 is prideful prayer. And that's the way of man. That's the way of the hypocrite. That's the way of the one that wants to look good in front of others. And Jesus says, no, private prayer. Private prayer in verse 6. So he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They pray standing in the synagogues, the corners, the streets, that they may be seen of men. They have their reward. But you who are spiritual, you who are trying to serve God with proper motive, you who recognize that you need the Lord in this matter, or else why are you praying, right? I mean, you need Him, right? That's why you pray. You, when you pray, go into your closet as opposed to the street. Enter in your closet, shut the door, and pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. Private prayer. You know, it's interesting. I got a few examples just briefly. In the Bible, Isaac, he went out into the field and prayed. Peter. Remember Peter when God told him, you know, you need to pray or whatever. And he was staying at somebody's house, and he went on the housetop. You know, he's not literally meaning a closet. Okay? He's meaning get alone. Get by yourself so you can be with God and God alone. You know, my prayer closet is my desk at home in my office. I go in there, I shut the door. And nobody's in there except my wife, who walks in and feels the need to come in there and do different things once in a while. But I'm alone. You know, that's my closet. You know, what is your closet? I don't know. Christ went to the mountain. Mountains are pretty cool to go and pray. You can be alone on a mountain and be amongst all the grandeur of it. God's creation. So, you know, there's all through the scriptures, people got alone to pray. Hey, if Christ needed to get alone, I certainly think I need to. Now, pray to your Father, not for men. Not for men. Pray to the one who is ready to hear and answer and is already inclined to be gracious and helpful. The Father will, he says what? The Father will reward you openly. And I think that's a kind of a double meaning there. I think you can get blessings in this life, and I think, you know, somebody that's close to God, a lot of times people will see how God has blessed somebody. You ever know somebody like that? It just seemed like God blessed them, and they seem to be humble to you and just trying to serve God, and yet they got blessed. And I think God allows us, what does it say? Humble yourself before this in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will make you noticed among men. Jesus said, look, don't sit at the head of the table. And then the guy that's having the feast might ask you to go sit in the back, right? In your pride, don't sit. No, go sit in the back. And you know what? He'll ask you to come up. And that's before people. You know, you go sit in the back, and then the head of the feast goes, hey, Dan. You're always in the back row, Dan. Dan, you know, come on up and sit up here by me. You know, God elevates those that are humble. And He humbles those who are elevating themselves. He does that. He will reward you openly. But also, you know, so people, I believe people will see the impact of God in your life if you're really seeking to humbly just serve Him. I believe people will notice. People will notice, man, there's something different about that person. There's, you know, God is really using that person, whatever. You know, whatever. It could be in a lot of different ways. But the second way will be, you know, one day we will stand before the Lord. And He's going to go over the things at the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what? We're going to get crowns. Those of us that do the things, what it talks about, and we'll be rewarded openly. Then we get to cast them at the feet of Jesus, because it was only through His power working through me I could even do those things. But the point being, I believe we will be rewarded openly in this life, and I believe we'll be rewarded openly in the next as well. I like God's way better. You know? It's a lot of work to elevate yourself. It really is. Because you always got to own up to that thing that you put yourself in the position. The Pharisees were always battling to keep their place. You notice that? What were they always concerned with? Oh, if Jesus has His way, we're going to be, you know, we're going to be out. That's why Jesus said, you know, don't try to keep the things you can't have. And you'll get the things you can't even get yourself. You know, you lower yourself. You just humble yourself and trust Him to do those things. I don't have to worry about being who I am. I just be me. You know, as long as I'm just me, I don't have to keep track of anything. So much simpler life. So much simpler and easier to just be yourself. Be humble. Just be yourself and serve God best you can. Be open to growing and learning and and let God deal with all that other stuff. Private prayer. Then we move on to the next illustration. I call it performing prayer. Performing prayer. And he says in verse 7, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." So we had vain glory, vain meaning empty. Okay, it's just empty. Yeah, I'm up here, I'm the head Pharisee. That was totally empty. You know, I don't know where Caiaphas is, but he might be in hell. I mean, I don't know, maybe he figured out who Jesus was. Okay, but he was like the big dog, you know, Pharisee, him and Annas, you know, they were the big dogs. But it was empty. Their position was empty. The things they were doing were empty. And it was vain repetition. And you know, a lot of people just love to hear themselves talk. It's like a performance. You ever know that guy? You ask him to pray and it's like, oh, you know. And it's like, you know, just be real, dude. Do you talk like that all the time? Would you please pass me the butter? You know. I mean, you know, we're talking to God, you know? I don't talk to my earthly father like that. I don't think God wants me to talk to him like that, you know? Vain repetition, you know, chanting, you know, stuff like that. It's just empty. You're just, you know, a vain repetition doesn't even have to be what we would call repetition. Like praying, you know, we used to pray this little prayer for a time at the dinner table. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. That's a vain repetition because all anybody wanted to do was say that so they could eat. Because that's what we do. We always say that before we eat. God is great. God is good. I mean, and if you ask the kids to pray, they pray the same prayer. You know, each one, you know. Doesn't matter. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. Where's the chicken? You know. I'm sure God heard that with a... I'm sure He was blessed by it. That's a vain repetition. It's not necessarily just saying the exact same thing over and over and over again for 20 minutes. It can be just saying the same exact prayer every day where it has lost its meaning. It's just regurgitating something you've memorized. Not all repetitions are condemned. Just like all these other things, you know, it's not condemned to stand and pray. You know, it's repetition is not condemned. Look at this. Jesus prayed. It said in Matthew 26, "And He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." It says it right there. He went away three times to pray and said the exact same thing three times. It's not about the repetition, folks. It's vain repetition. It's empty repetition. Christ repeated Himself because it was heavy on His heart. So, you know, listen, if you've got something going on in your life and you've prayed it 1,000 times, but it's heavy on your heart, pray it 1,000 more. If you're sincere, you know, if you're really trying to get God's attention on this, you know, if it's really laying on your heart, Jesus did it. But if you're just sitting there going, "God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, amen," I guarantee you, you're not doing a whole lot. But man, if you're sincere and you're heartbroken and you just keep praying, nothing wrong with that. Jesus did it. This was at a great time of anguish. A great time of testing for Him, spiritually. And long prayers are not forbidden. Now, have you ever been in a group and you don't want to ask this guy because you know it's going to be like 30 minutes, right? The food's going to be cold. I'm serious. I mean, if you ask him to pray for the meal, man, we got the missionaries going. We got, you know, the government. We got, you know, all this stuff, right? Now, listen, there's a time to pray for those things and we should, but it's dinner time. Okay? But long prayers are not forbidden. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. You know, there are times that we need to spend some time with God. You see, it's not much praying that's condemned, it's much speaking. I mean, if you're sincerely speaking to the Father, praying to the Father, that's praying. But if you're just talking, don't do it. Vain repetition. It's empty. I love it when Elijah had the showdown with the prophets. And he said, yeah, you build your altar and you pray to your God and whoever, and I'll build an altar and I'll pray to my God. And whoever sends fire down, that's the God. That's the one true God. And man, they got out there and man, they're praying and all the stuff. And they did it all day. And even Elijah sat there, and he's going like, speak louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. And all that stuff. And then what happened? They even started cutting themselves and just, all kinds of stuff to get their God's attention. Aren't you glad you don't have to get God's attention? He already is watching you. He loves you. You have His attention, folks. Does He have yours? See, that's the question. But Elijah, he comes and there used to be an altar there, and he took the stones and he stacked them back up. And then, of course, he the story, they put wood on and he poured water all around it and all that. But all he had to do was say a simple prayer. Lord God, show these people that there's a God in heaven. I don't know what the prayer was. I don't think it's recorded, but it's probably what I would have prayed. Show these people, God, there's a God in heaven and you're Him. And, he didn't have to dance around for 10 hours. He didn't have to say 5,000 words. He just asked God, and God, it was God's will to show Himself strong. See, part of our problem is we pray out of God's will, and then we wonder why, things don't happen. Well, can't pray for things God doesn't want to do. That's part of having a relationship with Him, so that you know where God's at, and you're on the page with Him. Part of our problem is we spend a lot of time in prayer trying to convince Him to get on our page. And what we should be doing is saying, God, where are you at? And help me to be lined up with you. That's where the action is. That's where the answers lie. So it's not much praying that's condemned, it's much speaking. God does not need a lot of words to make Him understand. He already knows. He knows your situation better than you do. He just wants us to ask. He just wants us to ask. So here's a question. Do I say my prayers, or do I pray my prayers? Because I know years ago I used to tell my kids, go say your prayers. And that may seem like a minor point, but honestly, are we just talking, or are we going before our Father? And listen, He's God, yes. I mean, He's the holy, perfect, righteous God that we cannot approach, because He is so holy. But you know what? When you accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, He became your Father. He adopted you. And you go to Him with absolute awe and respect and honor because of who he is, but he wants relationship. He comes to us like a father. And we need to go to him like we would a kind, loving... Maybe your father in this world was not kind, loving, you know, maybe, you know, you didn't even have a father. I don't know. But God is kind and loving and gracious. And he will allow his children to come in and visit and speak. So we have prideful prayer and private prayer. Then we have performing prayer, vain repetition. Empty. You see, repetition in and of itself is not bad. It's when it's empty. Vain repetition. And that leads us to verse 8. Perfect prayer. Perfect prayer. Perfect in the meaning, biblical perfection means maturity. Mature prayer. Bible says, be perfect, okay? It doesn't mean, we obviously can't. That would be an impossible command. What that word really means is, be mature. We need to be mature about a lot of things in our life, but one of them ought to be our prayer life. Have mature prayer. Verse 8. So he says, be ye not therefore like unto them. Don't be like these people that do these things. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask him. Before you even ask him. God knows our needs before we ask him. Prayer is not about letting God know something new. You ever pray a prayer to God like that? Like, God, you know, I know I'm supposed to be nice but to this person, but God, you know what they do? Let me tell you what they do. This is how they treat me. You don't think God already knows that? I mean, you know, I want to treat this guy bad because he does all this to me. God, let me tell you, how can I forgive him like your word says? Look what he does to me. And then we, you know, spend 20 minutes telling him stuff he already knows. We're not letting God know anything new, folks. He already knows. It's about you knowing your need of him working in your life. See, it's not about what God knows. It's about what we know. And a lot of times we don't know. That's the problem. You have to know that you have a need of God to work in your life. You know, if I've got this guy in my life and he's, you know, whatever, he's the thorn in my flesh from Satan, okay? God already knows that. But I need to get to the place where I'm trusting God about that. I need God to work that out because I'm not going to be able to. You know, it's like the kid getting beat up at home and he can't, or at school, and he can't do anything about it. So he goes home to the father, hoping the father can do something. Rather than say to the father, I'm going to take care of it myself, and then go get suspended because, or maybe in jail because, okay? No, it takes maturity. We must learn to listen. We must learn to listen. I'm going to give you a statement here, and I'll even repeat it. I think I might even put it on here. I did. Listen, we need to hear from God much more than he needs to hear from us. How much of your prayer life is just you talking to him? And you may say, wow, you know, I've really grown in my prayer life. You know, I pray 30 minutes every day. Used to be only 1 minute. You know, now it's 30 minutes every day. Well, let me ask you, how long do you listen to him? We need to hear from him way more than he needs to hear from us. How much time do you spend listening versus speaking? Mature prayers involve listening. They involve listening. What an amazing privilege we have in our ability to pray, just to have the ability to do it. Prayer is the essence of our relationship with God. It's where you can connect with Him. It's an amazing thing. And when He speaks, and He does, and sometimes He says stuff that takes you off guard. Stuff you don't think you're ready for. But that's relationship. Relationship, you know, if all I ever did was only speak to my wife and never listen to her, that wouldn't be a relationship. Or vice versa. It can even be like a person that possibly could be your friend, but they talk so much, there's no relationship. In fact, you just kind of want to get away. Because they, you know, they're time stealers. Come on, do you know the person on the phone that when you get on the phone with them, you never get off? And it's just because they got so much to say. And some people are lonely. I mean, sometimes there's a reason. I mean, I'm you know, service technician for 34 years. And I go into homes, and sometimes there would be women there that, not so much men, hardly ever men, because of course men typically don't talk a lot anyway, but there's a woman living there all by herself. And she basically has no one to talk to, and here I am, captive audience, especially if I'm there for like an hour or two. And I mean, and it used to bug me, but then after a while when I got, well, first part of my career at Sears, I wasn't even saved, so I didn't even care what they were saying. But after I knew the Lord, you know, I began to see the hurt and the loneliness in these people. And they just needed someone to talk to. And I just listened, you know, had to. So you might as well make the best of it, but you know, but then I began to engage them and everything. But you know, you begin to build a relationship with that person, even though I never saw him before, probably never see him again. You know, but when there's two way, that's relationship. But how many times do we sacrifice our relationship with God because we do all the talking? You know, we go through our thing, and then we, amen. Bless this day, Lord, amen. Didn't even stop to see what He had to say. Didn't even stop to see if maybe some of the stuff I'm praying for He doesn't think is good for me. Didn't stop to listen for that. So now I'm just frustrated. God isn't answering my prayer. Well, God's been trying to tell you something. It's the essence of our relationship, and it has to do with listening. God is so willing to be involved with us. He is so willing. He may answer before we ask, and He may even give us more than we ask for. Look at these verses. Answer before we ask. Isaiah, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I already heard it. My wife used to have a thing sitting somewhere. It had a saying on it. Some words to this effect, God already has the answer to your problem before you know you have a problem. That's not a quote. That's just me paraphrasing it, because I can't. It was printed much more eloquently than that. But that was the essence. was that God's already got the answer before you even know you've got a problem. Before they even call, I will answer. Sometimes God meets your need and you didn't even know you had the need. And then you look back and you go, wow, that all worked out. And wow, you know? Well, that, and we say, what? That was a God thing. That was a God thing. And it is. And sometimes it's something minor, you know, what we would call minor or small. But God's interested in all of our life. Not just the big, crazy stuff, but the little things. That's about relationship. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. You haven't even got it out of your mouth, and He already knows. So He may answer before we ask, and He may give us more than we ask. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to what? Do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. And I don't know about you, but I can think of a lot. And I can ask for a lot. But He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. Holy Spirit. You know, you may have to ask God, you know, I know sometimes people stick their neck out a little bit, meaning they are asked to do something like teach Sunday school or do something in the church, and they're like, you know, I've never done that before. You know, scared, right? And I know the feeling. First time I ever preached. It's a terrible message too. But anyway, people are so gracious when they listen to people that never preached before. God. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But what happens is when you're honestly, sincerely trying to serve God in something maybe you hadn't done very much or at all, He's able to do abundantly, exceedingly above. According to the power, that power that is in you will work it out so that you can be a teacher, be a deacon, be a pastor, be whatever. It doesn't even to witness to somebody on the job. You can do that because of the power that works in you. And He can do over and above. I know on mission trips I've gone on, I would just pray, God, just please give me some fruit, you know, just please let me be effective. And sometimes there was so much more to that trip than what I ever thought it was going to be about. Because sometimes the fruit's not just leading someone to the Lord in prayer, which that's the ultimate fruit. But there's other fruit on these trips. Sometimes the people on the team grow. You know? And that's not even what you were asking for. But when you come off that trip, you're like, wow, man. God did way more than just save souls, which is great, and that's why you're there, but He did way more than that. He made me better. He made me think differently. He used me in a way I never thought would ever happen. We don't need to use a lot of words. We don't need to. Now, like again, don't get legalistic. We can pray long prayers. But we don't need to use a lot of words because why? He knows our situation better than we do. But we do need to go to Him. And in fact, some of our most powerful prayers don't even need words. What do I mean by that? Look at this verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for. As we ought to pray. We don't even know. You know, you realize how messed up we are. I mean, we don't even know what to pray for sometimes. We don't even know how to pray sometimes. And it says, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been so, I don't know if distraught is the word, but just so emotional or so caught up in a situation. And you're going to God and you're like, I don't even know what to say. You know, words fail me, Lord. And so you just kind of groan, if nothing else. You're just like, God, like, you know. Because you can't even put it into words. And that's where the Holy Spirit just kicks in. Because the Holy Spirit, He is within you. And He knows exactly what you're feeling. He knows exactly your anguish or your situation. And who better to go to the Father on your behalf than the Holy Spirit Himself? And you don't even need to say a word. And God got the message. Prayer is a great thing, folks. Why don't we do more of it? And so I just ended with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer. We need you, Lord. So please help us to pray according to your will for your kingdom and your glory. You know, these guys were praying for their kingdom, their glory. We need to pray according to His will, His kingdom, His glory. And help us, Lord, to listen for the answer. You know, help us, Lord, to have ears to hear. Jesus was saying that all the time. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because, you know, we don't listen. And that word hear, when Jesus says that, it doesn't mean to hear, by the way. Like, you know, I can be sitting there watching television, like watching a ball game, and I will hear my wife ask me something, but I didn't hear. Because my focus is there. And I heard her. But when God says, hear, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, that means to listen with the intent of obeying. Listen with the intent that you're going to do something. Well, you know, once you hear what you're going to hear, you're listening with the intent of doing something. And that's, in our prayer life, that's the kind of hearing we need. You know, we say our prayers, and in next time, you know, in 2 weeks when I preach through the Lord's Prayer, and God, through Jesus, gives us this pattern, we're going to go into that. How it ought to be, according to the Lord. I mean, you know, if you want to be accepted by God, you've got to do it His way. Isn't that what happened to Cain and Abel? They both wanted to worship God. Abel sacrificed an animal. Cain brought food, you know, his crops. And I'm sure Cain worked a whole lot harder getting his offering ready than Abel did. Abel sat around the pasture watching the sheep, you know. They feed themselves, they water themselves, they eat, you know. You know, remember back then there wasn't anybody else around to steal them or anything, you know. And God said, you want to approach me, you got to do it with a sacrifice. And Abel, man, he's tilling and weeding and watering and doing all the things that a farmer does. Farming is hard work. And he brought the fruit of his labor. And the Bible says God did not accept his sacrifice. And Cain got mad. And God Himself appeared to Cain and said, hey, if you do right, won't you also be accepted? And you know, I wonder how many times God says that to us. If you just pray right, wouldn't you be accepted? If you just prayed with a humble heart, with a pure motive, if you just did the things I've asked you to do it. Do it my way. He is God, you know. Help us to pray. Help us to listen. Amen. So be it. And then whatever you decide to do, Lord, so be it, just simply means it's okay with me. I'm going along with you. If you say this, then this it is. If you say that, then that it is. Whatever. Amen. So be it. According to your will, your way. Most important prayer you could ever pray is the prayer where you ask God to forgive you for your sin. There could be somebody here today, you do not know Jesus Christ. You may have read about Him, you may have heard about Him, you may have even thought He was part of your life. But maybe somewhere along the way today, or during the week, or in the past, whatever, you have come to a realization that, you know what? God is not my Father. I'm outside the family. I haven't been adopted yet. I've not been adopted into the family of God. I need a Savior, and His name is Jesus, and I've never asked Him to forgive me. I've never accepted the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for my own personal sin. I've never done that. Most important prayer you could ever pray. And I guarantee you, that's the prayer God always answers. If you sincerely go to God and say, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell, and thank you for Jesus that He died, and I accept, you know, His sacrifice on my behalf, Lord, please save me. You know what? He will. Right then. Because that's His will. He says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should have eternal life. That's His will. So when you ask according to His will, it's done. There may be someone like that here today. I hope, if you are, I hope you'd make that decision today to just ask God to forgive you on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. And you know what? He will. For the rest of us, do we talk too much in our prayers and not listen enough? Do we need to get alone with God more often? I mean, is prayer really an important part of your life? For Jesus said, when you pray. He expects it. He knows our need of it. We have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've never done that. And I recognize my need here today. And I'd like prayer about that. I'd like prayer about this decision that I need to make. Anybody like that? You realize you need to make a decision. You want prayer. Anybody like that? Okay. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to get alone with God more often. I get way too busy sometimes. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I need to listen more. I tend to say my prayers, but I tend not to listen very much. Anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, sometimes I pray a little repetitiously, and I recognize that, and I need to change, and I just ask for prayer in that. God bless you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I lift these up to you. Father, I pray that we would grow in this very important area of prayer. Father, I lift these people up that raise their hands. Lord, maybe there's some here that did not raise their hand. I ask you, Lord, to meet them right now. Meet them right now in their need of a growth in their prayer life, their need of maybe a change in their prayer life, Lord. I pray you'd meet them right now and minister to them. Show them, Lord, I pray, what they need to do, how they need to do it, Lord. I pray you would open yourself up to them, that they would grow in this very vital area of our Christian walk. And in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. This is your time now, as God has dealt with you. Please deal with Him. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before You, Father, knowing that You are the awesome God, and we stand before You knowing our position, that You saved us, You made us Your children, and You want relationship with us. Lord, help us to grow in our prayer life. Help us, Lord, that we would be more effective for You here in this world where You've placed us. And Father, even now, once again, I pray there's many needs in this room, Lord God, many situations going on. And Father God, I pray You would meet us all right there in our need. You know them all. And You care. And You love us. And You want to meet us right at our point of need, Lord. And Father, I pray for that. I pray that we would be listeners. And not just listen, but do what You ask us. That You would be lifted up, that Jesus would be glorified, that the Spirit would have free reign in our lives, that we would serve You in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen.